sun and all its glory. Greets his day with hope and comfort too. And you fill my life with laughter. You can make it better. Ease my troubles, that's what you do. Brother, love is divine, and it's yours and it's mine, like the sun. At the end of the day, we should give thanks and pray to the one. Have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you there's no one above you? Fill my heart with gladness, take away my sadness, ease my troubles, that's what you do.
This is 1360 AM, WNJC, Washington Township, Philadelphia. Philadelphia's Renaissance Radio Station.
Brought to you
from Forsyth Broadcasting. Or listen to us at WNJC1360.com.
Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt. Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything.
Good morning, listeners. Everything. Welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse, the only on-air, online program that devotes itself solely to the subject of dogs. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer.
And I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny.
As you may already be aware, Karen and I are both professional dog trainers and behavior consultants in New Jersey. We both train dogs in basic obedience as well as doing behavior modification training with dogs that have serious issues like fearfulness, separation anxiety, aggression, and a lot more. We've interviewed some very well-known and respected experts in this field, like veterinarians, authors, shelter volunteers, breeders, and other professional trainers throughout the United States and even in Europe. Last week, we were talking to one of my favorite trainers, Susan Belanda, about dogs that are very high drive. These dogs, these types of dogs, are working breeds or hunting dogs that need to be doing something seemingly 100% of the time. If they're not given enough physical as well as mental stimulation, they wind up creating their own activities, which are generally quite problematic. So Karen and I are going to spend some time today talking to you about the importance of providing mentally stimulating activities and exercises for all of your dogs, regardless of their breeds, ages, or the jobs they may have been originally bred to do. You may want to have a pen and paper handy because we'll be providing some website links for you to go on during today's show. And those will give you places to buy certain things that we may be recommending to you today. Before we get started, please let Karen tell you what services she offers in the Keyport, New Jersey area and its surrounding towns.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. This is Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny, and I'm here with Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and we're going to be talking about high-drive dogs. I'd like to encourage our listeners to give us a call if you're listening and you have a question, or if you have a question during the conversation. The phone number here is 856-227-1360. Again, the number is 856-227-1360, and we'll be here to answer any questions you might have. Rini, before we went to break, we were talking about high-drive dogs.
Right.
And I have a high-drive dog.
What is her breed?
She's an English foxhound.
Mm-hmm.
And this dog, beyond eating everything that she could possibly find,
mm-hmm.
loves to scent work.
Mm-hmm. Well,
loves it.
She's a hunter.
And she's naturally, I didn't have to train her to do it. I mean, this dog could find anybody.
Right.
So, you know, And you had said that, you know, if you don't give a dog something to do, especially a high-drive dog, and usually those are dogs that are just a big pain in the neck. If you have a dog that's a big pain in the neck, and it's chewing your couch, and it's just stealing things and doing these kinds of things, you know, chances are you have a high-drive dog. And Lucy is one of those dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had taken her from her owners because she was out of control over there.
Right.
But, you know, often I'll ask my husband, hey, do me a favor, take Carney, go around the block, you know, try to do a couple of zigzags, you know, maybe cross the street, and I'm going to wait like 5 minutes. I'm going to have Lucy find you, you know. And, you know, they leave the house, and, of course, she's like, oh, you know, I want to go, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, okay, hold on, you know, and I'm like, you want to go find them?
Mm-hmm.
You want to go find them? Can mm-hmm. you find them?
Right.
She leaves this house, I mean, nose to the floor,
mm-hmm.
tail straight
mm-hmm.
out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she is whining and totally into it. And, I mean, you could see her doing a whole zigzags, and, you know, sometimes the scent kind of travels with the wind a little bit.
So she's tracking.
She's tracking.
Yep.
She finds them in 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
She's done it with my stepkids. She's done it with my neighbors, and she loves it more than anything. And when she gets back to the house, she's so exhausted. Mm-hmm. But I have to tell you, I have never seen a more happy dog when
mm-hmm.
she's doing this.
Absolutely.
She just absolutely adores it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're talking about when we're talking about, you know, providing your dog with an activity that they enjoy.
Right.
But you know what? You're not going to know what to do with your dog unless you know what the breed was bred for. Foxhounds are bred to do scent work. I mean, they're not bred to catch the fox and to kill it. They're bred to scent it and follow it and find it and then bark like heck, when they get to it. Why don't you share a story, maybe something that you do, Rini, that helps some of these drives?
Well, it's funny because you have a very high drive dog. I have to tell you because My dog is totally the opposite. He sleeps all day. He's a couch potato. He's very low drive. So you can run the gamut of from extreme to absolutely extreme, the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I find that even if a dog is not bred specifically to do a high energy job, providing mental and physical stimulation is extremely helpful for them too. So mental stimulation, doing scent work, playing go find it games is excellent for any dog, regardless of the breed and regardless of the dog's age. Here's the advice that I give to all my clients. When I go to somebody's home, part of the consult that I do during the first visit is bringing them ideas on how to keep their dogs not just physically exercised, but mentally stimulated, doing scent work and playing with certain toys, and I'll go into that in a minute. But the reason that many people experience behavior problems with their dogs is because the dog is bored out of his mind. And really, our dogs are left alone throughout most of the day. Some of them are crated for 8 hours. Some of them just wander around the house or sleep all day. And then when the owners come home, those dogs are, you know, their batteries have been on the charger for all that time. And then the owners are still busy because it's time to make dinner. It's time to do this. It's time to do homework with the kids or whatever. These dogs are not getting enough exercise. The other thing I want to stress is that if you have a fenced-in backyard, that's wonderful. It's great to have the dog go out and play. But please don't leave your dog outside alone to try to figure out how to entertain himself, because that alone is going to create some problems. You're going to have a dog out there that's digging or jumping the fence or escaping. Dogs need direction. They absolutely need you to provide these things for them, because the only way they're going to figure it out is by using their own little doggy instincts in their brain, and then you're going to get a lot of animalistic behavior.
Can I interject for a second?
Yeah, sure.
What I tell my clients, I mean, you know, an adult dog, you know, once it reaches like 3 years old,
mm-hmm.
it could be 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It has the mental capacity of a 3-year-old toddler.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as far as like vocabulary and being able to like store words and understand things. So, you know, sometimes to help put things in perspective, you know, I tell my clients, if it's not appropriate for a 3-year-old child, then don't let your dog do it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I wouldn't leave a 3-year-old child unattended in the yard. I mean, yeah, for a little while, you
right.
know, that they're playing with their sandbox or
mm-hmm.
whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you're not going to leave them out there all day.
Right. And a lot of these dogs are out there
yeah.
all day. You know what happens too? There's a lot of dogs that start running the fence. And that's dangerous. You know, dogs get frustrated. Many dogs will get frustrated if they're left behind a fence to run back and forth. If a dog passes by or people are walking by, they run back and forth. They get angrier and angrier. And then we wind up with dogs that appear to be very territorial, or some little child comes along the fence and puts his little fingers in there because he wants to pet the dog, and then the little child gets bitten.
Right, and we call this barrier frustration.
Yeah, exactly.
And that could be caused not just, it could be caused by a fence, it could be caused by a door,
mm-hmm.
it could be caused by a leash or
mm-hmm.
a collar.
Right.
Anything that prevents the dog from getting to what it sees. And, you know, it's interesting you bring this up, because I was in a neighborhood last night working with a Great Dane that they're telling me has territorial aggression, and I just did not see it.
Mm.
What I did see is the dog a little unsure of his environment and a little excited when people come in, and he doesn't know what to do. And you know, the dog does have barrier frustration. But what's frightening is that every neighbor in the entire neighborhood has e-fences.
Oh, please.
And there's a shepherd across the street, and anybody that's walking on the sidewalk, the dog comes charging aggressively
right.
up to a certain spot.
These are invisible
and
fences.
Won't go any further.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that these folks and the owner's a veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
She will not use an e-fence, and I congratulate her for her, you know, intelligence
mm-hmm.
on that end.
Right.
But everybody does, and the problem is that, you know, this Dane is a little unsure of his environment, and, you know, they take them for a walk, and dogs are charging at them left and right from neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from the houses.
Right.
Scary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it, you know, and all these dogs have barrier frustration.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, you would look at it and say there's no barrier, but the e-fence is a barrier.
That's right. It's invisible.
And so, you know, what we did was we ran away. I had him run. I'm like, come on, let's run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we ran away from the scary dogs, and he had the greatest time. And,
right.
We kept him out in the front yard, and, he ended up laying down, and we enjoyed the day. But, you know, they started keeping him just in the yard and wouldn't let him out front, you know, to try to protect him from all the stimuli. But he started developing barrier frustration.
Right, right.
Because he was only had the yard fence or the front door, or there was always some sort of barrier, windows. So, you know, this could develop rather quickly.
Yep.
But you really want to be careful of that.
Well, let me give you some ideas. Let me give our audience some ideas on how to provide mental stimulation to your dogs, especially things to do maybe when you're not at home. The first order of priority would be a Kong. That's spelled K-O-N-G, just like King Kong. Kongs are the best toy in the world. That is the most wonderful creation, and they're usually red, they're shaped like a cone, and they have a hole at the top, and it's considered a food release toy. And I tell my clients every dog should have at least 3 frozen-filled Kongs in Ziploc bags stored in the freezer every day. And that's not to say he gets 3 of the Kongs, but I mean you should have it available for opportune moments when you need to keep your dog occupied and happy. So you can fill the Kong with peanut butter and some extra kibble, or you can put the peanut butter in with some crunchy chopped up biscuits, and then you can put it in the freezer so that when you do present it to your dog, it's frozen and it takes longer for the dog to chew it out of the toy. Dogs love that. And if every day when you leave for work, your dog gets a frozen filled Kong, he's going to think to himself, when are they leaving? I can't wait to get my Kong. So this is also a prevention for separation anxiety. It just gives the dog something to do when he's alone.
And, you know, if the dog is not motivated, say it does have like a little bit of, you know, separation distress or it's developing it, you can also withhold his food, and instead of feeding him from a bowl, you put it in the Kong.
Absolutely.
And now they're really hungry,
right.
And they're really not paying any attention to anything.
That's right. They don't even probably notice you're leaving the house.
They don't.
So there's another toy, Karen, that's called a Kong Wobbler, and that's excellent also for when dogs are alone. It's made by Kong. It has 2 pieces to it. It has a bowl at the bottom and then a very wiggly-waggly, unbalanced top. And you put in the bowl either the dog's kibble, because you can make that his feeding type of situation, or you can put treats in there. And you screw the top on, and you start teaching your dog to encourage him to push the Kong around the room with his paw or his nose, and what happens is there's a little hole at the top and the food starts flying out where he now can go hunt for his food, and they love that. It's a great toy. One of the other things, my favorite, I have 2 more I want to mention in the next minute or so. One is called a Hide a Squirrel. It's a plush, it looks like a plush tree trunk, and it's got holes in it, and it has stuffed little squirrels in each of the holes. And the dog has to figure out how to get the squirrels out of the holes of the trunk, and there's squeakers in each squirrel.
Oh, I want to get that.
Oh, listen, so you can go on the website, which is petproductadvisor.com. Petproductadvisor.com, and you go down the pages and look for toys. You click on toys and then type in hide a squirrel in the search box, and that's hide-a-squirrel to get this toy. I'm telling you, it's adorable and dogs love it. The other one of my favorite toys is called a Babble Ball, and that's a ball that when the dog rolls it around, it sounds like a dying rabbit or a squirrel is in the ball.
I love that thing. I have one, and I don't know where to get another one.
You go to petproductsadvisor.com.
Food in it, right?
No, it's just a talking ball.
Oh, okay. And I had one that does the same thing, but there's a hole in it.
Oh, that's even better.
Kibble. Oh, my God. My dog love.
Yeah, because it's very noisy, and the dog swears there's something in there that they want to go hunt for. You can watch a video. The video, of course, has a border collie herding this ball around, and it's a lot of fun. That would occupy a dog for hours, really. Do you have any ideas for things that dogs can use?
You know, I do, and I could do some budget. If you don't have a lot of money and, you know, your things are tight, you can make your own toys.
Mm-hmm.
As long as your dog is not consuming socks.
All right.
You could take some, leftover sweat socks.
Oh.
And fill them with some kibble.
Okay, they're clean though.
Tie them up in big knots.
Uh-huh.
So the dog has something to tear apart during
that. Oh, great. Right. Excellent.
That's always fun. And another thing too, especially for young dogs, you know, a 5-month-old dog, 7-month-old dogs that are teething, you could take a rope toy and you could soak that in a no-salt broth and freeze it in the refrigerator in the ice box.
That's great.
And when you leave, you know, they have something to sink their teeth into and it's cold and it tastes yummy.
Yep.
That's great. Fun too.
Great. Well, listen, Karen, I think we have to take a break.
Exactly.
So we'll be right back and we're going to take a break.
This is 1360 AM, WNJC, Washington Township, Philadelphia. Philadelphia's Renaissance radio station. Brought to you from Forsyth Broadcasting. Or listen to us at WNJC1360.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Rini Primeza, your friendly neighborhood dog trainer. I've been training dogs professionally in South Jersey for close to 12 years. I assisted my own dog's trainer in her obedience classes for 2 years while studying the laws of learning and behavior modification at an online college. I then became certified as a behavior consultant in 2004 by the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants. So whether you need a trainer to help you teach your dog his basic obedience behaviors, or you need help because your dog has developed serious behavior problems, I'd be very happy to come and visit with you and at your home and assist you in resolving these issues. So give me a call at 609-280-9338 or contact me through my website at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Let me repeat this. My number is 609-280-9338 or go to my website and email me directly there, which is www.jerseydogtrainer.com.
Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. This is Karen Fazio, the dog super nanny, and I'm here with Rini Primeza, the Jersey dog trainer, and we're talking about high drive dogs and how to keep them busy. And before our break, Rini was talking about some wonderful toys, such as the Heart of Squirrel, the Babble Ball, the Kong. I'd like to talk about some activities that you can do with the dog in the home. You know, they say exercise, discipline, and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, it's all great, but you know what? Dogs just want to have a good time. I mean, the short of it is that most of the things that they do is because they're bored and they just want to have fun. And, you know, there are times when, you know, you may not have a lot of energy to go walking, or say there's a snowstorm or it's raining and, you know, you don't have time to walk your dog, or it's not appropriate to walk the dog. Of course, you want to let them eliminate outside, but when you get back in the house, you know, you want to kind of fill their day with some activities. And one of the ones that you had mentioned really briefly at the first portion of the show, Rini, and that's search games.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's funny because, you know, I set my dogs up downstairs, and not only is it a game, but it also teaches them how to sit and stay for longer periods of time because they're so excited. They can't wait, you know, to go search for the food. And sometimes they'll break that stay and come charging up the stairs and go looking for it. But all right, you know, you're dealing with an infant mind almost. So it's like, okay, we got to do it again. But most of the times, my dogs have a really solid stay.
Good.
I can leave them all the way downstairs in the living room and go upstairs for 5 or 6 minutes and hide food, little pieces of kibble around the house, and then they won't move until I say, okay, go find it.
That's great.
You know, and then they go charging up the stairs.
Right.
But last weekend I had a training with a family that had a plot hound. And they never had one before. And of course, you know, this dog is, you know, this world is ruled by its nose.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought over some of these little meatball things.
Okay.
And, you know, to give the dog something to do, I'm starting to teach it some nose work. And
okay.
What I was doing is first dragging the meatball across the grass, and then putting it maybe like a foot and a half away,
mm-hmm.
and asking the dog to go find it.
Right.
Now, naturally, he's going to smell what was rubbed on the grass, and then he found the meatball.
Wonderful.
And it wasn't long before I had this dog all over the lawn,
mm-hmm.
looking for these little meatballs, and he had the time of his life. And by the time I left there, this dog was conked out.
Good, good.
He was, like, sleeping.
Hey, Karen, do you ask your, maybe you do it already, but I always ask my clients if they have a muffin tin. And everybody has a muffin tin. And most people have at least a 12-slot muffin tin that they bake muffins in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's another game that I love to advise people to do. You take treats, and you put a treat at the bottom of each opening in the muffin tin. So you're going to need 6 to 12 treats. And then you take 12 of your dog's toys and place them on top of the openings of each of the muffin openings there to hide the treat. Then place the muffin tin on the floor and then tell your dog, go find it. That's a lot of fun. And it's called the muffin tin game. That's what it's called. So that's another idea for just having a good old time with your dog and teaching him to use his nose to keep him occupied and thinking. The other thing I love to do anymore is to just tell people, go get some cardboard boxes before you leave the house for work. Take a couple cardboard boxes, toss them in the living room, or if your dog is able to be free for throughout the house, and leave the house. And when you come home, you're going to find a mess. But it's not going to be a mess that's going to be destruction of your sofas or your woodwork or anything else. It's going to be the dog making a mess with the cardboard boxes because they're just so fun to rip apart and to chew apart. You know, so that's a great idea, too, for providing mental stimulation is just giving them some cardboard boxes. It's fun.
You know, I love that suggestion. And what I do with the cardboard box is I ask my clients to, you know, use maybe like a paper tape or something that's appropriate that the dog could tear apart or even, you know, wrap it together even with a towel or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And put things in it.
Right.
You know, put toys, put treats, special little goodies so that the dog really has to work hard at getting at that box.
Right, right.
And, you know, you're not teaching, and this is where a lot of people get confused. You know, that they're saying, well, doesn't this encourage the dog to tear things apart? No. You're only encouraging to tear apart the things that you give him.
That's right.
And because you're presenting it to him, it's an appropriate object.
Right.
And this happens a lot with dogs that are chewing apart magazines and newspapers,
mm-hmm.
and you know, your family kindergarten photos, which I actually had experienced.
Yeah.
All of a sudden they see my little toothy grin from when I was 5 years old laying on the floor, you know. So, you know, I decided, you know what, let me give him something to do. He likes to tear apart paper. Okay, here you go.
Right. You know, I had a client who had a dog. This is another separation anxiety case that I was on. And they had gotten her to a point where she wasn't eliminating in the house. She wasn't doing anything horribly destructive. But their main complaint was every day they would come home, and every day there'd be a mess on the floor from papers, newspapers and magazines that were left on the dining room table. So I said to them, why don't you just leave the newspapers on top of that table every day? If that's the worst that she can do,
mm-hmm.
let her tear them apart. Let her just take those things and put them on the floor and let her go at it and let her have a good time, because that's how she's occupying herself and keeping herself happy throughout the day. We don't want miserable dogs. We don't want stressed out, anxious dogs. So if your dog is just having a great time tearing up newspapers, then set her up for success and let her have it. Let her have
right.
at
so,
it, you know?
Look, we don't get mad at our toddlers when they open up our, you know, pots and pans cabinet, and take it out and bang with their spoons on it. I mean, we kind of encourage that.
Right.
You know, and we give them, you know, Tupperwares and things to bang because they like that percussion sound.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of really doing the same thing.
Right.
I mean, you know, of course you don't want to give them appropriate things. You know, you wouldn't want to give them, you know, a box that was used for, you know, Tide soap or anything like that.
Sure.
But, you know, a shipping box, I mean, you know, there's plenty of boxes out there. And if you go to the supermarket, oh, my God, that'll be great.
Yeah.
Those have the scent of food in it.
Right.
Hey, Renee, I know that we're getting kind of towards the end of the show. I think we've got about 3 minutes left.
Okay.
But I know that you had wanted to talk about spaying and neutering.
I do. And it's, listen, we had a wonderful man on the show a few weeks ago. His name is Bruce Compton. He's on the board of directors of our local shelter here. It's called Animal Orphanage. It's on Cooper Road, in Voorhees. And he's a great guy. He's very dedicated. And I got an email from him last night. And he told me something that was really disturbing. He said that animal control had brought into the shelter this week 9 stray dogs. The dogs' ages ranged from 18 months to 7 years.
Wow.
All of them, they were 9 dogs. They were all brought in. Every single one of them was a stray on the street. And none of the dogs, not one of them, was spayed or neutered. So what Bruce is trying to get out to the public is that it is not cruel to spay or neuter your dog. If you have no experience in breeding, and if you're a responsible dog owner, you're not going to breed, especially if you don't know what you're doing. Spay and neuter your dogs. Now, there is a controversy a little bit about how old a dog should be when he's spayed or neutered. Some vets are actually spaying them a little too young for my personal preference, but, you know, 6 months at a very minimum. Most holistic vets say that no younger than a year, as long as the dog is not showing aggression of any kind. So talk to your vet, get your vet's opinion about the age that your dog should be spayed or neutered, but do it. Don't think it's cruel. I know some men have a lot of difficulty with this, and I hate to do male bashing, but I truly believe they have sympathy pains when their dogs are neutered. They take it as a personal thing, and they feel, you know, they feel the same way they would feel as if somebody neutered them, which, of course, we don't do.
Hey, Renee, and real quick, I have a resource for those who want to save a lot of money on spaying and neutering.
Good.
I mean, it could cost you anywhere from $300 or $400 to up. But if you go to friendsofanimals.org,
right?
That's friendsofanimals.org. You click on spay neuter. You could purchase a spay neuter certificate for about anywhere from $65 to $90.
Wow!
Pays for the entire operation. And you put in your zip code, and it'll bring up a whole bunch of participating vets. So rather than spending, you know, $300, $400, $500, $600 to spay your dog or neuter your dog, it'll cost you about $90.
Wow. That's really a good price, let me tell you. In our area, Karen, there's another shelter called Animal Welfare Association. They're also in Voorhees, and they have a spay mobile, and they go around to neighborhoods and they spay and neuter dogs for a very discounted fee.
Wow, that's
so
great.
Let people check that out. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Karen, you wanted to talk next week about how to choose a rescue dog.
Yeah.
And so I can't wait to delve into that topic. And I thank you very much for listening to us today. I hope that this subject was of interest. And please tune in again next week to Thursday in the Doghouse right here on WNJC 1360 AM.
Have a great
evening. Talk to you later. Bye.
Take care.
I'm glad you're home, but where you've been? Since 2 o'clock, I've been holding it in. Grab the leash, let's go chop chop. If I don't get out soon, the cork's gonna pop. Twist and shout, ooh, I gotta go out. Well, I'd love to stay and talk, of course.
This is 1360 AM, WNJC, Washington Township,
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia's Renaissance Radio Station.
Brought to you
from Forsyth Broadcasting.
Or listen to us at WNJC1360.com.
Best friends are too baby.